Hello there, just a quick message before this latest podcast. Some of the team at University Radio Nottingham are taking part in a series of challenges for Movember to raise awareness for men's health. There has never been a more important time to talk about men's health. Movember estimates that unchecked prostate cancer rates will double over the next 15 years. In addition, testicular cancer continues to be the most common cancer among men aged 15 to 39, and across the world, one man takes his own life every minute, every day. Through platforms like Movember, more and more people are coming to terms with these horrible realities of men's health. You can support our efforts by donating at www.movember.com/t/university-radio-nottingham?MC=1. That's www.movember.com/t/university-radio-nottingham?MC=1. I'll put the link to that in the description of this podcast. Every penny counts and will help to turn the tide. Thank you and enjoy the show.
This is URN Sport.
I hope anybody's not stupid enough to write us off.
There was nothing like banging that ball in the net, the explosion of adrenaline that it caused, and to see the excitement on supporters' faces is a tremendous feeling.
Michael Doyle has scored from the halfway line!
To win the Premier League the next season, to win the Champions League the next season, to retain the Champions League the next season. It was an extraordinary story in the late 1970s, early 1980s, and it remains so.
Still Robertson, getting his shot in, and a goal! Robertson!
I'm glad that Notts County got the script from the county of Nottingham that we are supposed to fail spectacularly in the final game this year. Forest kept up their end of the bargain. Now it's you boys' turn.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Over the Trent podcast here on University Radio Nottingham, your home of all Notts County and Nottingham Forest talk. On the weekend that was Halloween, Forest got a little bit of a fright up at the Riverside. The notorious supervillain Neil Warnock coming on top against Chris Hughton's Forest, a 1-0 win for the Borough in what was a really poor game, I think it's fair to say. Certainly a poor game from Forest's perspective. Dom joins me. Dom, first and foremost, how you doing, mate? You okay?
A bit better than Saturday, but overall pretty good. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you, mate. I'm doing all right. Let's dive straight into to Saturday then and the horror show that was Forest's trip to the northeast and to Middlesbrough. I want to start, Dom, by getting your thoughts on the starting lineup. Obviously, Chris Hughton made quite a few changes ahead of this game. Notably up front, Lyle Taylor out, Guerrero in, and then another kind of key area which we discussed on the previous podcast, which he needed to change due to the suspension of Nicholas Iona in midweek. Left back Gaetan Bong comes in, someone obviously that he knows well. Chris Hughton from his time with him at Brighton. What was your opinion on both of those changes?
Well, I forgot both of them were at the club at the time. Bong, once he looked into it and looked that Hughton had signed him, he went, ah, that makes sense. And Guerrero, I thought, was really harsh on Taylor. I know Taylor didn't score against Luton, but he did score against Derby. So leaving him out after that, it's very harsh. So I think the front three, it was a bit harsh. Amiobi and Lolly weren't playing together. It became Freeman and Knockhart. But if you look at that front three, the sort of behind three behind Guerrero, that's almost what Forest fans have been asking for. And then if you go back into defence, seeing Bong at the back in front of Ribeiro, I think everyone was a bit surprised. Ribeiro was a really good fan favourite last year for his skill and how he worked with Cash. And I think Bong didn't quite have the best of games on Saturday. I did think we really missed some fullback attacking options, and Ribeiro would have been perfect. But it is Hughton's new team. Only four players played in that horrible game against Stoke from the starting lineup of this game. So it is showing that Hughton's really trying to change the sort of atmosphere, the lineup from last year, trying to create this side in his own image.
I think, Chris Hughton came out after the game on Saturday and said about those changes that they were made because of the short turnaround from the Luton game and that he needed to freshen things up a little bit, hence why Joe Lolly
and Lyle Taylor dropped the bench. I mean, I was a little bit surprised that one of those players didn't start. I think it would have been more probably realistic based on Lolly's recent injuries for Taylor to start the game and to throw Guerrero in, having had such limited first team action so far for Forest this season, I think was really interesting. But at the same time, Houghton's hands were tied somewhat, what with Lewis Grabban not being in the side at the moment due to injury. So, questionable starting 11 from Forest from the off, but I think we can give Houghton the benefit of the doubt due to fixture congestion. Based on those two players then that came into the side, Dom, did they do enough over the course of the 90 minutes, those individuals, Guerrero and Bong, to kind of force themselves into the starting 11 for Forest on a regular basis, do you think?
I think it'd be harsh to say Guerrero, after that 90 minutes, shouldn't be in the squad for the rest of the season or playing the next starting game. But he was really feeding off scraps, as every Forest striker seems to be at the moment. So it'd be very harsh to say we only had one shot on target, so therefore Guerrero's got to go. I think I'd go personally go back to Taylor, just Alar Taylor, who's I thought really been really impressive and I think really hard done by to get out of the squad. But I do think it's very harsh to say just off that one game, Guerrero should go. I do think Bong wasn't, I don't think he's the right fit. He didn't play very well under Sabri last year, I didn't think. And he wasn't that impressive. I mean, the whole squad, the whole starting 11 didn't play very well. Let's not pretend like it was just Guerrero and Bong's poor performances that let the team down. But personally, a lot of fans on social media are asking for a Vieira, and I'm also asking for a Vieira. But I think Ioane will probably come back for the next game. His suspension's one game, I think, isn't it?
So I believe so.
He'll probably be back for next game.
Let's dive straight into that wider performance, Dom, because like you alluded to there, it wasn't great all round for the Reds. A late Marvin Johnson goal was the difference. 9 minutes to go in the game, he gave Middlesbrough the lead. I thought, first and foremost, on that goal, it was a brilliant cross from George Saville for Middlesbrough. Questionable defending from Cyrus Christie. We'll come on to him in a moment, but a very good cross nonetheless and a good finish as well. Borough had some really big chances in that first half after some really slack passing out the back from Forest. I mean, notably the Brees Samba goal kick that was short. That saw Hayden Coulson go through. It was a good save by Samba. But then obviously the notable chance of the half was for former Forest striker Britta Sombalonga feeding on a back pass from Ryan Yates. Again, good goalkeeping from Samba. Middlesbrough from the rebound fired over the crossbar as well. Little really to talk about in terms of Forest chances other than a Ryan Yates flick on from a Joe Lolly corner midway through the second half. What was your reflections on the wider performance, Dom? Because from the details I've just given there, it seemed like with the ball at Forest's feet, it was scrappy, it was loose, it was incoherent. And then going forward, there was no real kind of creativity or energy in the final third.
The Forest performance had the trademarks of a poor championship team. There was nothing really going forward. The defence, to be fair to them, was sound at times. But then we kept having moments of lapses, which I didn't expect because Houghton's come in. And I do think the Forest defence has improved a lot. There keeps being moments of personal, and I don't even blame Houghton for this, lapses in concentration. You alluded to Cyrus Christie's error. Whilst it was a great cross, Cyrus Christie has no idea where Johnson is behind him. And I know he's in the position of Matty Cash. And there's obviously going to be people saying, oh, Cash would have sorted that out. Let's not forget, Cash wasn't the greatest defender of all. And I think it was a good cross. So I think it'd be very harsh to blame Christie saying, oh, he's just a poor man's Matty Cash. But I do think Christie didn't help his case there. Ryan Yates played well. It was just a sort of very scrappy game again. It's not fun watching Forest. I know the Forest fans listening to this will agree in the fact it is just quite turgid. You think it's going to get better. You think Knockhart and you think Freeman will create something, but five shots on target and most of them really coming in the second half after we concede again. It's just not a positive. We're not playing any type of football that feels threatening when we are on the ball. We always think I always think personally, we're going to give it away in the next 5 seconds. There's going to be a slack pass somewhere, and then we're going to be attacked against. And I know the possession stats say we had more possession, but we didn't feel like we were going to do anything with that possession. It did feel we just had the ball for the sake of having the ball, and then we'll give it away and let Middlesbrough have a go. I think Samba was one of the rare shining lights of that game. And whilst he did almost mess up, he made up for it with two great saves. And I think under Hughton, he's been very good, actually. He's been very good saving with his legs, especially. But apart from that, it's been a real turgid game on Saturday. Every time you think this is going to build to something, it just didn't really go anywhere.
What do you put that down to then, Dom? Where do you attribute those problems to?
Oof. On paper, we're a great team. I think if you look at the top middle three of Lolly, Knockhart and Freeman, they're some of the best championship players the championship's seen in a long time. And if you were making almost a dream team of attacking footballers, you'd think, oh, you've got to have all of them in there. However, as it's just not coming together. Maybe it is because they're a very new side, but it is 9 games into the season. Maybe it's the new manager, but I'm not too sure. I think Warnock was defensively sound. I think Middlesbrough had everything. Whilst they didn't play amazingly, they did their job. They were defensively sound, broke well, and got that one goal, and that's all they needed. I think Forest couldn't break them down. I almost think we almost, not write off this season, but we give it to Hughton. We'd really trust in him and let these games where we could have won, we should be really beating this. If we want to be Premier League standard in the next few years, we really do need to be beating Middlesbrough and Luton and Rotherham and Derby. I'm just thinking back, we've only played really scrappy games, and it's not what I was expecting really from Hughton. I sort of got my hopes up with the fact that he led Brighton to the most, were they the most goal scoring? When they went up, they scored the most goals that year. I was thought expecting, finally, we're going to be attacking, we're going to have something going for us, but it seems he's almost staying to how he was at Brighton at the end of his time there. Very defensive, very scrappy, hoping for just one goal and holding on. I think we just got to keep with Hughton. We can't keep getting rid of managers because we're doing almost a Watford in resetting. And I think it might be even catching up to us because these players look like they haven't played together for a long time. Or played together at all. So I think we just got to keep them together.
I think, obviously, you're far more educated about all things Forest than I am, Dom. But my personal opinion on that, about where the issues in terms of Forest performance, I don't think you can blame the manager, personally, because he's hardly been at the football club. He's inheriting a group of players that aren't his own. He's dealing with a complex context anyway of a dressing room that are used to losing football matches now. That's kind of the norm for Forest in 2020. And a difficult context of, you know, coronavirus. It's not like he's got that passionate City Ground crowd to kind of carry Forest through games. Because, for example, if you look at that Rotherham game, his second game in charge, the multitude of chances Forest had at the end of the game, maybe, you know, on a, you know, another day, the Trent end would suck the ball in the back of the net and Forest would come away with a win there. He doesn't have the usual setup that new managers have that can potentially keep the bounce going. But you're right. If you look at the players on paper that Forest have got, they should be a lot better, not perhaps in terms of league position, because it takes time to improve that, but certainly in terms of individual performances game by game. So I think a lot of it, and I don't like doing this, but I think a lot of it, a lot of blame has to be put at the players' doors, really.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't think enough initiative has been taken by players that were there last season to change the fortunes of the club. And on the flip side, I don't think any of the new players, really, bar Scott McKenna, who I think has been pretty good for Forest so far. I don't, and Knockhart in spells, but he's still very, very new to this Forest team. I don't think any of them have really taken, you know, this new club, and embraced it and said, I'm going to be the one who's going to fire Forest towards promotion, which is ultimately what they were signed to achieve. I mean, what's your thought on that point?
I completely agree with you. I think I might not have phrased it right. I personally think it's not Shooting's fault, obviously. But if you look at some of the games he has managed, it's been very player-based mistakes. If you look at Luton sending off, and then we sort of went back into our shell, looked a bit shell-shocked at times. So I think you almost have to write that game off. This game, it was just against Neil Warnock, and got to at least hand it to Warnock sometimes, that he's a very professional manager. And we, whilst it wasn't a perfect performance, he is still a new manager. And we've been quite unlucky with set pieces. So, and we've had penalties against us. So, I do think some Forest players need to grab the dressing room by the scruff of the neck and almost wake them up. Because I know a lot of players at the start of the season, we got off to a bad start and we thought we can still recover from here. But now it is November. It's going to be very difficult for Forest to push towards the playoffs, which was our ultimate aim, especially when we've got teams like Swansea and Reading coming up. So I do think players need to take a bit of responsibility, because the manager can only do so much. The manager can do nothing. He can't play. Hughton can't come on and create some chances for Graban, Taylor or Guerrero. The players do need to buck their ideas up.
No, I agree definitely with that point. On that point that you made, Dom, about you made it a little bit earlier and reiterated there about the fact that it is November now. If Forest are going to achieve something this season, they're going to have to start picking up results very quickly. I mean, the odds are firmly stacked against them for doing that, because they're already a fair few points behind and a lot of sides towards the top have got real momentum at the minute. Does this defeat on Saturday then define Forest season? Does it suggest to you that this is going to be a year of consolidation, a year of building, a year of getting a team and squad together that can compete for championship glory next season? Or are you still optimistic that there may be life in this campaign yet?
I hope it doesn't define it, because I've got to watch the rest of it. And if it's anything like it was on Saturday, it might be another horror show for the rest of the year. I think it symbolises the problems we've had so far this year in the fact of poor creation and personal mistakes leading to goals. I really do think it's going to have to be a year of consolidation, just building and building. Find that right formation. Is it the 4-2-3-1? Whilst that's had more success than the previous tactic, I'm not sure it could be the right one if we're still conceding as much. We might have to go back to 5 at the back maybe. But I think almost have to write this year off, similar to the Luton game. We've started poorly. If we get to the playoffs, it'll be miraculous and it'll be great. But we almost have to be realistic here. The club has not got any fans in, and we got some of the best fans in the league. And I'm pretty sure that helped us on so many away days last year. And that's probably why we kept on holding on to those 1-0 wins. But without the fans, with the poor start, it's very hard for the players get off the mark, really, with 2 successive wins and leading for more than 3 minutes, because we've only been leading for 3 minutes for the whole of the season so far. I think Coventry could be a defining game, because if we don't get a result against Coventry, a team that's been really struggling, and Wickham on Saturday as well, they've only got their first win on last Saturday, it could be a real almost scrappy year of holding on to anything that is positive. But if we just get 2 wins, we beat teams that are below us and get to about 10th, I think that could be a really successful year for Hughton. And I think we, for the first time in Forest history, since probably Frank Clark, we've got to build and build and build.
Well, I hate to be like really pessimistic and put this terrible thought to your head, Dom, but if Forest don't pick up points against Coventry and Wickham, based with where they are in the league, I mean, an argument could be had for could the Reds be involved in a bit of a relegation battle this season? Because, you know, the argument that's been said all the way through this season so far has been these players are good enough. They will show it eventually. And like you were saying, it will turn, it will turn. It's going to click at some point. At what point does it click? And if Forest don't pick up results in the next 2 games, then I think a serious conversation needs to be had about what's going to happen for them this season. But fingers crossed they will. Before we move on to the Coventry game, because I think people can detect from the tone of my voice and certainly Dom's that we don't really want to dwell on this Middlesbrough game too much. The goal that Forest concede, like I said, my immediate assessment of it, watching the highlights back, was it was a terrific cross from George Saville. I mean, there were question marks as to how well Bruce Samba can do it, being beaten at his near post by Marvin Johnson, but I think it's a very good finish. Cyrus Christie, ball watching there, essentially, doesn't track his man. It's a really poor piece of defending, that, isn't it?
Yeah, and again, we can't blame Hughton, because just say Cyrus Christie performs to his absolute peak level, he might be able to get that out even for a corner or deal with it better. It's just it's a lapse of concentration that's cost Forest a point there. But I don't know. It was a turgid 0-0 draw performance-wise if Cyrus Christie does clear the ball away and sort it out. But it is poor, but that's Forest at the moment. Like you said, we're here for a reason now. Like, we can't keep sugarcoating it and saying, oh, we shouldn't be here. We are here. We've got to deal with it. We've got to look at the next two games. And we've really got to pull our fingers out there.
One point, though, on Christie. I mean, the Nottingham Post, Sarah Clapson, friend of the podcast, she gave Christie 4 out of 10 in her player ratings for the weekend. One thing that we've spoken about a lot this season is these new players that have come into Forest, and not much has been put on the fact that this team, like you say, only 4 players started at the weekend, who started that infamous Stoke game. Not a lot has been put on the number of players from that squad of 2019-2020 who are no longer at Forest or currently aren't in the team. Obviously, right back is the obvious one. No Matty Cash, Cyrus Christie's in that area. No Joe Worrell at the minute. No Yuri Ribeiro. Ben Watson and Thiago Silva also no longer at the club. Is there an argument to be made that Forest missed these players and especially missed these personalities? Or is that an easy argument to make, Dom, do you think?
I think it could be a little bit of an easy argument to just say we don't have these players anymore. But if you look at someone like Thiago Silva, creatively, he wasn't outstanding. He only scored 2 goals, I think, last year and didn't really come up with that many assists. So I don't think we can solely put it on Thiago Silva. Ben Watson's been replaced by Jack Colback and, to some extent, Ryan Yates, who I think has been one of the rare shining lights this year. I'm not sure why. Warwick's had a few injuries. It might be down to that, and Hughton hasn't seen the best of him in training. But what we do for Matty Cash right now, a bit of pace up that right wing would just not put the team together, but it would add something to it. It would add a threat, and we need any threat we can think of, because no goal scorer for Forest has scored more than 1 goal. And I don't care how we're putting them in. If we've got someone like Matty Cash, which the whole league knows and fears, I'm not sure how to say it, but it gives the fans something to be positive about. And also it gives the opposition defence, something to think about. And that can lead to Ribeiro on the other side, like last year, creating something because they're too busy worrying about what Cash is going to do. But I'm not really sure if, because every player's been technically an improvement, bar Christie, you could probably argue. And that maybe it is just there's too many players in the pitch and no one's getting really good enough training. I'm not too sure on that argument either. I really don't know what's causing Forest such grief. I think maybe it's just the lack of wins and everyone's got their heads down. And we've got to go to Coventry and we've got to win. We have to win.
On that Coventry game then, Dom, they come to the City Ground on Wednesday night having, this is such a classic Forest stat, a fact I should say, they come to Forest on Wednesday having beaten the league leaders Reading on Friday night, so they come bouncing into this game with real confidence, in a similar area to the table as Forest, newly promoted Coventry side under Mark Robbins. They've won quite a few plaudits this season for their attacking football at times, but they are quite open at the back. How do Forest approach it, Dom? Is it just a case of, by any means, just win?
I'm not sure how Hughton's going to go for this. I think if he goes for that sort of compact And then a counter-attack style, that might help, as you said, on the counter-attack. But I always think that lower league, or well, not lower league, teams down the table, the week after they win a big game at the top of the league, that's when they're most vulnerable. Their heads, they almost go in, almost cocky. They think, I've seen it a lot with Forest in the past. Maybe it is just a Forest thing. But as soon as they get one big win, the next game's always a disappointment. So we're going to have to hope that pays off. But if we can just open them up again, get one or two goals, well, that'd be nice to get two goals for the first time in a long time. I think we're just going to have to, I think, go back to the 4-2-3-1. And if that doesn't work against Coventry, then I think we really need to have a look at the formation. I think we've just got to get balls into Taylor or Guerrero. I wouldn't be adverse if Guerrero had another game because he didn't have that much of an opportunity. If we can get Taylor on and create chances for them, there's every chance in the world that Forest are going to win this game. We've got to turn it on at the back. We can't make silly mistakes again, which I know is quite a big ask at the moment. We can't give away penalties like we have been doing. We can't get sent off like we have been doing. And we can't ball watch like Cyrus Christie did. We've got to, I'm not sure how to say this, but we've got to play at our best. And I'm not sure how Houghton's going to do that. I think with fans in, it might be a bit more possible to do that. But it's so soul-destroying watching this current Forest team because there's no real answers, because it's not like you can say, we'll wait till January, because we've got some of the best players in the Championship. I think we've just got to just open them up somehow. And if that means playing Lolly, not Carlton Freeman again, and just hoping that they can create some mad goal through a 30-yard screamer, that's got to be our best option at the moment because nothing else seems to be working.
Sounds like a stupid thing to say this, Dom, but Forest just need, for this Coventry game, players to just do their jobs.
Yeah.
Just do the jobs, whether that's defensively, be disciplined, track your runners, make sure that your pass is back, meet the reach man, it. Essentially. Yeah. Your midfield have got to be functional, they've got to be combative and provide a platform. And those creative players have quite simply got to create. You've got to give Lyle Taylor the opportunity to score goals. If you don't present it to him, he's not the kind of striker who's going to create something on his own. And Forrest have got to work a way around that. So I think, quite simply, just do your jobs properly. And like you said, there's only so much Chris Houghton can do. He will try and establish a good defensive shape again on Saturday. I mean, Middlesbrough did create a lot of chances in the first half, didn't create loads in the second, and Houghton kind of came out after the game and said, I'm pleased with the way we're defending. That's what he's going to give you. He's going to give you that platform and that shape upon which to be successful. You've just got to hope that the creative players and the back four, and everyone in that starting 11 just doesn't make mistakes and carries out their job properly, which, I mean, it's easier said than done at the minute for Forest, but yeah, a couple of wins under the belt, hopefully two coming this week, and things could quickly change for the Reds. I should say, incidentally, it wasn't the best weekend for either Nottingham side's women's teams as well. Notts County's women's game against AFC Leicester was postponed this weekend, unfortunately, and Forest women were defeated 1-0 away at Sunderland. So it's not just the male Reds who are suffering at the minute, the female Reds defeated up in the northeast as well, incidentally, not a happy hunting ground for Forest this weekend. Look, fingers crossed, things change and we can have a little bit more of an uplifting podcast in the next couple of days in reaction to fingers crossed, a Forest victory against Coventry. Dom, big thank you to you as ever. This is the first episode, I should say, of the Over the Trent podcast of Series 3. We've moved now on to Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well, so you can find us in various different places. We will return later in the week to discuss Forest's game against Coventry on Wednesday night. We'll also be previewing both Notts and Forest games at the weekend, and also giving you an update as to how both sides' women's teams are getting on as well. In the meantime, stay safe, stay well, and we will see you next time on the Over the Trent podcast. Bye for now.